Welcome to the Celtic Myth Pod Show, bringing the tales and stories of the ancient Celts to your fireside.
Episode SP42, the 2016 News Update Show. Hello and welcome to the Celtic Myth Pod Show. I'm Gary.
And I'm Ruth. And it's so good to be back.
It is. We've been away for a while now, and we wanted to make a show to bring you up to speed with what's happening with the podcast and share some amazing music with you.
But before we make a start, let's remind you how to get in touch with us.
Good idea. Although we do have some bad news.
Oh, what? What do you mean?
Well, we lost the phone number we had, as the K7 service we were using stopped offering a free service.
Oh, that's a shame. We'll have to keep our eyes open for another one. Although that speak pipe thingy on the website still works, doesn't it?
It does, yes. So if you'd like to send us a message or some feedback, shoot us an email at garyandruth@celticmythpodshow.com or get in touch with us on Facebook or leave us a message on SpeakPipe.
Yes, and you can find all the contact details in the show notes for this show at CelticMythPodShow.com/news update.
Excellent. So, what exactly have we got in this show?
Okay, so as well as all the news about what we've been doing and where we're going with the show, we've got six fantastic pieces of music and the amazing Professor Roland Rotherham, who gives us a small talk on the story of St. Nectan.
Ooh, exciting stuff. So let's make a start with the first track.
Okay, yeah, what have we got?
Have a listen to the wonderful sound of Blanche Rowan and Mike Gulston with their wonderful version of the North Hill May song and Win and May, which they tell us means gentle May.
We have been wandering all this night and almost all this day, and now we're returning home again. We brought you a bunch of May. Arise, arise, you pretty fair maid, and take your May bush in. For if it is gone but tomorrow, morrow, morn, you'll say that we have not been. A branch of May we have brought you, and at your door it stands. It's not but a sprout, but it's well budded out and plucked by our own hands. Our song is done, we must be gone, no longer can we stay. So bless you all of both great and small, and send you a joyful May. And send you a joyful May. Summer's coming, once more the fields and meadows grow green with corn and hay, and cheerfully the cuckoo, with summer on our doorstep, doorstep sings all day long to welcome the merry month of May.
That was a beautiful version of two May carols from their album, The Dance Goes On. Did you catch the Welsh in the middle of that?
I did, yes.
Well, they also give us a brand new translation of this traditional song in the next verse.
Wonderful stuff. So our listeners must be wondering why we've been away from the interwebs for a while and what we've been doing.
Ah, well, yes. Since our last show, which was the last story of the first branch of the Mabinogion, we've sadly been rather tied up with very poorly family members.
That's true. Ruth has had to fly to the States to be with her mother, who's very poorly, and her father has since become very ill.
Yes, and we've also had a bit of a crisis when we realised we couldn't cover the cost of hosting for the show for another year. We really had a choice. We could either stop making the shows or ask our fabulous fans and listeners for help. And we decided to post on Facebook asking for help. And you amazing people donated enough to the show to cover our hosting for another year. So thank you so much to everybody who contributed. Every single penny helped.
Yes, thank you so much for your help. With that help, you have helped us to keep current and show archives online for another year. And we've got the time to make some more shows.
And now, I think it's time for a little more music. Have a listen to The Fairy Glen by Katie Nicholas and Canoonos Rising.
He met her in the greenwood amongst bluebell dew, and soft in language strange said she'd love him true. So beautiful, golden hair, so long. He made a garland for her head as she sang a fairy song. She danced with silent foot, with movement soft and mild, and gazed upon her new love with eyes so deep and wild. He led him to a sacred place, in a language strange she stroked the woodman's face. Come with me, my handsome love, our heart shall be one. Our dance will be forever till our days are done. Prepare to give your heart away, for I am the fay. Oh, I'll hold your heart as if my own, so leave this world that you have known. Upon this moss you'll dream a dream that you will be my king. So take my hand and follow me to a place where no birds sing. He woke in clover, beard now gray, many years gone by that felt like a day. Back in the greenwood, oak, ash and yew, he recalls from long ago that she'd love him true. Beware, mortal soul, the promise of fay. Otherworld love lasts more than a day. Thank you.
That was the talented Katie Nicholas singing The Fairy Glen with the fabulous band Kenunos Rising. You've heard George Nicholas sing with Kenunos Rising before, but did you know that Katie is his daughter and a talented musician in her own right? She is, isn't she?
She certainly is. And what a lovely song. Beware of the love and magic of a fairy woman.
So what else has been happening?
Well, we've also been working on research for the second branch of the Welsh Mabinogion and are up to our ears in the story of Branwen. That's coming along really well, and we expect to start scripting the next 10 story shows in the next couple of weeks.
And it's very exciting too. We're hoping to bring back some familiar voices for you, along with some new ones to help us act out some of the roles in this fantastic story.
Oh yes, but no spoilers.
Oh, all right then.
So, let's have another great piece of music.
Okay, let's play a wonderful song about the beauties of Ireland by Celia from her superb album Fire in the Head. Have a listen to Song for Ireland by Celia.
Walking all the day near tall towers where falcons build their nests, silver-winged paid fly, they know the call of freedom in their breasts. I saw black hair against the sky, or twisted rocks that run down to the sea. I saw summer sunsets, I asked for more. I stood by your Atlantic sea, and I sang a song for Ireland. Talking of the day with true friends who try to make you stay, telling jokes and news and singing songs to pass the time away. Stood by Dingle Beach and cast in the wild foam, I saw the Atlantic bass. Living on your western shore, I saw summer sunsets, I asked for more. By your Atlantic sea, and I sang a song for Ireland. Drinking all the day in old pubs with fiddlers love to play, someone touched the bow, he plays a reel, it sounds so grand and gay. Watch the Galway salmon run like silver dancing, darting in the sun. Living on your western shore, I saw summer sunsets, I asked for more. I stood by your Atlantic sea, and I sang a song for Ireland. Dreaming in the night, I saw a land where no one had to fight. And waking in your dawn, I saw a teardrop in your morning light. Lying when the falcons fly, they twist and turn all in your rare blue sky. Bathing on your western shore, I saw summer sunsets, I asked for more. I stood by your Atlantic sea, and I sang a song for Ireland. For us.
That's an enchanting song. It captures so much mystery and magic from the landscape of the Emerald Isle.
It's absolutely beautiful. That was Celia with Song for Ireland from her album Fire in the Head. Okay, so my turn for questions.
Okay.
I've seen you fiddling about with bits of codes on your computer. It means absolutely nothing to me. But you must have been up to something.
Oh, I was, I promise. I've been rebuilding the website, as it was seriously due for an update. Go and have a look at our contributor pages, and you'll notice some awesome changes. The pages are now compatible with all your tablets and phones.
I also see that if you click on the Stitcher link on any page, it'll play the latest podcast as well.
That's true, that's true. And you'll find a player appearing in many other places as well that you can download the show from or share it, as well as just listen. As the revision of the site continues, you'll begin to notice these changes spread across the whole website.
Well, that sounds fabulous.
Hope so.
Now, from 21st century computers to something completely different. Let's introduce Professor Roland Rotherup, who is probably best known as one of our foremost Arthurian scholars. You may have heard his wonderful talk on the Ladies of the Grail in special episode number 14. You can catch up on that at any time by going to CelticMythPodShow.com/Ladies of the Grail.
And what a wonderful speaker he is too. He is also the author of a new book called Sacred Falls, The Legacy of the Dragon, written to help conserve the St. Nectan's Glen waterfalls in Cornwall. St. Nectan, a possible contemporary of the historical warlord who may have been King Arthur, has a fascinating tale.
Absolutely. So let's listen as the professor reads a small section from his book, Sacred Falls, The Story of St. Nectan.
Now, what I'd like you to do is to relax and make yourself comfortable, because I'm going to tell you a story, and the story is the legend of St. Nectan, the Celtic saint who gave his name to those wonderful triple falls just outside the town of Tintagel in Cornwall. Now, he's supposed to have lived between the years 468 and 510, despite the history, it's the legends that are even more breathtaking. Now, we're told that Nectan was from a large and rather fruitful family, and he was one of the many children of King Brychan of Brycheiniog in Wales. However, we'll be looking at this rather prolific family a little bit later. The name Nectan is of ancient British descent. And here it's well to remember that we're dealing with Britain and not England, as we're talking of the days when the might of Rome has evacuated the country and the Saxons have yet to gain control over this realm. Indeed, Nectan's an early form of a name that in more modern times we'd call Nathan, and in Old Welsh is known as Neith, while the Latin would call him Natanus. It's quite possible that Nectan would have been versed in Latin, but by no means should we take this for granted, for we're dealing with the country when the old Celtic Christianity was the religion of choice for those that followed the new faith. And we must remember as well, when we're looking at this time, which is, in effect, the historical time of Arthur, we're looking about a way of worship that worked hand in hand with the Druidic faith, where the nature religions and the Celtic Christianity worked very much one and one in hand. He's said to have sailed into the West Country after his father settled in Wales, and he took a small vessel from South Wales and landed on the borderlands of Cornwall and Devon at a place called Hartland Point, and continued his journey on foot, and settled at a place in Devon called Stoke St. Nectan. Now, running through this valley was an abundant spring of clear and pure water, and it's in this vicinity that he built his first church and cell or dwelling place, in which it is settled for many years. However, it's near Tintagel in Cornwall, where he built his retreat, and where his memory is now kept alive in the name of St. Nectan's Keeve. Actually, Keeve means a tub, and this is certainly due to the effect of the waterfall having created a luxuriously deep pool under the onslaught of its gushing torrent over the centuries. The most well-repeated part of the legend of Nectan is, of course, the story of the two cows. Now, according to belief, it was in the year 510, when Nectan was 42 years old, that a certain swineherd by the name of Hiddon arrived in the vicinity of Nectan's cell. Now, he'd been sent, as the story tells us, by his liege lord to track down some breeding sows that had managed to escape from their enclosure. Hiddon approached Nectan and asked if he'd seen anything of these pigs, and whereas Nectan hadn't, he agreed to help the said swineherd in the pursuit of the errant porkers. Now, after a long search, they managed to locate the escaped bacon, and they were duly returned via Hiddon to the safe custody of the lord, who, in his gratitude, presented to Nectan two fine milk cows. Now, that certainly seems rather an extravagant thank you for the return of two pigs. Now, shortly afterward, on June the 17th to be exact, Nectan was out while his cows remained in their byre when two opportunist robbers happened upon the scene. Seeing two unguarded cows, they promptly made off with them, and upon his return, Nectan found his animal pen sans cattle. Going off in pursuit of the villains, Nectan eventually came across the perpetrators of the theft and faced them with their misdemeanour. Now, being a holy man, he did not approach them with cudgel flailing and beleaguer them around the head for the return of his beasts. No, he decided to preach to them. Now, please bear in mind that we're dealing with two ruffians from the Dark Ages here, and I think it's fair to say that they wouldn't be counted amongst the regular congregation at the local church, or visiting the WI stall to buy homemade jam. They decided to shorten his discourse and promptly cut his head off. So now we have on the scene two villains who have very recently become murderers, two onlooking cows, and one holy man minus head. Picture, if you will, the look of mild surprise, therefore, when the said decapitated hermit stands up, retrieves his head, and carries it off back to his cell. We're led to believe that of the two ruffians, one died and one went blind. What happened to the cows is anybody's guess, but Nectan makes it safely back. Well, as safely as you can, while carrying your own head under your arm. He eventually dies as he arrives there. And certainly at Stoke St. Nectan in Devon, they believe that there are smears of his blood around his holy well, and also, they say, wherever his blood fell, foxgloves grew and bloomed. Foxgloves were taken by his pilgrims to his shrines when they'd make journeys to venerate the saint. This practice went on actually well after the Reformation of the 16th century, and indeed we even have notes of Victorian schoolchildren taking little bunches of foxgloves up to St. Nectan's well during the Victorian times. June the 17th has become the Nectan's feast day, or day of remembrance in the church, due to his untimely death on this day at the hands of the two thieves. An interesting variance on this is down to the fact that in ancient Irish folklore, Nectan is actually a water deity, where he's listed as a guardian of a sacred well. According to the legend, no one could approach the well but Nectan himself or his cupbearers, and should anyone dare to do so and hazard a look into the well, they would be immediately struck blind. Strange, then, at Stoke St. Nectan, over his sacred well is a stone-built arch which houses a pair of large oak doors padlocked against prying eyes. The whole concept of sacred wells, fountains, pools and waterfalls associated with holy beheadings is by no means unique, but I'll tell you about some of these perhaps another time. To return to Cornwall and our own Nicton, we've got yet another version of this strange life and death. We're told he came to Cornwall in 500 and settled in the spot now sacred to him. This is Trathevi, just outside Tintagel. His fame was such that the knights of the fabled King Arthur used to visit Nicton at this cell and would spend the night in sacred vigil before receiving his blessing prior to their going on a quest. Next to his cell, he built a chapel, and on it was said to have been a tall tower that could be seen for many miles round. In this tower, Nicton was said to have placed a small silver bell. When storms threatened the nearby coastline, as only storms can in Cornwall, he was said to climb his tower and ring the bell in an effort to warn any fishermen and shipping who might be out in such weather before it became too bad for them. Now, I have to ask at this point, however, how much use a small silver bell would be, given the fact that Nicton's attempting to warn sailors et al. Off the coastline some distance away. Nevertheless, we're told that during stormy weather, the bell can still be heard in its desire to assist seafaring folk to this day. It's also said that only the true believer can hear it, as Nicton wanted it to ring true for the followers of the Celtic Christian faith at a time when the Roman Church was attempting to make its mark in Britain, but hadn't yet succeeded. Having lived a fruitful life, we're told that Nicton passed away at the age of 42 years. This might seem an early death to us, but not so the case in the early 6th century. Legend tells us that two of his many sisters came to attend to him. In fact, we're told that many of his siblings, a large amount of them, went into the church and helped him to evangelise the West Country and would gather at Nicton's home each New Year, or at Christmas, depending on the version you read. And after his passing, he was laid in a coffin of a hollowed oak tree trunk. This was a common form of burial practice for someone of standing at this point in history. And that they then diverted the course of the river that flowed at his cell and buried him in the riverbed at an undisclosed spot before settling the river back on its true course, thus concealing his resting place forever. Well, of course, that's very similar to Attila the Hun, isn't it? And the leader of the Mongol hordes. It certainly wouldn't be the first person to have the course of a river changed temporarily so his earthly remains could remain undefiled. Now, the two sisters of his are said to have come and looked after him and buried him, it said, at this undisclosed spot. And the sisters remained at Nicton's cell by his falls and stayed many years. Local legend states that the folk were suspicious of them. Well, they tend to be in Cornwall, they don't like emmets. But after a while, they got used to the sisters being there, and the local people would start to come to the cell, and they would see the sisters in prayer or attending to things at the falls. One day, one of the sisters was found dead, and the other kneeling over her in prayer. She knelt quite still, and the folk were able to bury the sister. But on their return, they found the other sister still kneeling. She had, in fact, also died in the company of her sister, and their bodies were buried together. Yet another version of this story is associated with the well and sisters at St. Knighton, but of course the truth may be hidden for eternity, along with the ever-present stories of buried treasure and the search for the silver bell. A very pleasant poem was penned by the Reverend Robert Stephen Hawker to commemorate the story, and I'll read it to you now. The Sisters of Glen Nicton, it is from Nicton's mossy steep, the foamy waters flash and leap, It is where shrinking wild flowers grow. They lave the nymph that dwells below. But therefore in this far-off dell, the relics of a human cell, where the sad stream and lonely wind bring man no tidings of his kind. Long years are gone, the old man said, 'twas told him by his grandsire dead. One day two ancient sisters came, none there could tell their race or name. Their speech was not in Cornish phrase, their garb had signs of loftier days. Slight food they took from hands of men, they withered slowly in that glen. One died, the other's shrunken eye gushed till the fount of tears was dry. A wild and withering thought had she, I shall have none to weep for me. They found her silent in the last, bent in the shape wherein she passed, where her lone seat long used to stand, her head upon her shrivelled hand. Did fancy give this legend birth? The grandame's tale for winter hearth? Or some dead bard by Nicton stream peopled these banks with such a dream? We know not, but it suits the scene to think such wild things here have been. What spot more meet could grief or sin choose at the last to wither in? Now it's an interesting point that a little further down the river from the falls, there are carved into the rocks two small carvings, showing what are actually Cretan mazes. They're believed to be approximately 4,000 years old and virtually identical to the maze that is inscribed into the hillside at Glastonbury on the famous Tor. It might be a spiritual map of the course needed to ascend the maze in order to achieve the Godhead during ritual. So, there we've got the legend and the story. But always remember that the difference between legend and myth is that legend, of course, has a basis in fact.
That was incredible. So much information there. And I love the way he writes. He also makes an important point about the difference between legend and myth, doesn't he?
He certainly does. I can't wait to read the book.
Oh, you'll have to wait. Until I've finished it, at least. Great so far. You'll find more details about the Professor, St. Nectan's Glen, and where you can buy his book in our show notes at CelticMythPodShow.com/newsupdate. So, do we have any more news?
Oh, yes. Yes, we do. About the middle of last year, our news site was hacked and we lost several years' worth of blog posts. So we're trying to replace as many as we can. We also welcome guest blogs. So if you have a blog post that covers our subjects, please don't be shy. Do contact us.
Yes, we'd love to hear from you, especially if you have a copy of a post that we've lost and can replace it for us. Send an email to us at garyandruth@celticmythpodshow.com. Thank you very much.
Now, some friends of ours, Kate Fletcher and Corwin Brock, are on the verge of releasing a new album. So we thought it might be nice for you to hear their version of the Child Ballad, number 36.
A child ballad?
Yes.
What?
It's not quite as it sounds.
Oh.
Francis Child collected the lyrics to 305 traditional English ballads in the second half of the 19th century. And the music was reconstructed in the 1960s, hence Child Ballads.
Wow. Musical history.
Yes, exactly.
Wow.
So have a listen to Kate and Corwin with their version of Laylee Worm and the Mackerel of the Sea.
For she has made me the laylee worm that lies at the foot of the tree.
sister misery she has made the mackerel of the sea. And every Saturday at noon the mackerel comes to me. She takes me by my silver head and washes it in the sea. She takes me by my lady head and washes it in the sea. She combs me with a silver comb and lays me on her knee. There's 7 nights that I have slain since I lay at the foot of this tree. And were you not my own father, the 8th one you should be. Sing on your song, you lady one, that you did sing to me. I've never sung my song before, but I would sing it to thee. Oh, I was barely 7 years old when my mother, she did die. My father married the worst woman the world did ever see, for she has made me the lady one that lies at the foot of the tree. My sister misery she has made the mackerel of the sea. So he has sent for his lady as fast as send could he. And where is my son that you sent from me?
Was The Laley Worm and the Mackerel of the Sea. Beautiful version of Child Ballad No. 36 by the incredibly talented Kate Fletcher and Corwen Broch.
What a fantastic tale of magic, transformation and ultimate justice. I can't wait to hear the album now.
Especially if the old lady's getting burnt at the stake. It's a bit grim, don't you think? Well, that's folk tales for you.
Yes, I was going to say. You'd be amazed at what happens in folk tales.
Anyway, we'll bring you more information about their new album as soon as we have it.
I'd also like to talk about one of the other things that we've been doing.
Okay, so what are you thinking of?
Well, we also write seasonal articles on fairies and folklore for Fae magazine, don't we?
Yes.
Produced by Karen Kay.
Oh, yes, we do, yeah. Yeah. Keep an eye out for Fae magazine. That's Fae, spelt F-A-E, short for Fairies and Enchantment. And see if you can pick up a copy from your nearest retailer or online from faemagazine.com.
It's always a great read and has some quite unusual articles in it.
As well as some superb fairy fashion tips.
Absolutely.
Which I personally love.
Absolutely. What colour are your ears going to be this year?
You should see me in this year's wings.
Yes, I bet. Anyway, moving swiftly on, I think it's time for more music.
Yeah, definitely. What did you have in mind?
Well, this song is about a sheepdog working with the sheep and the land. Walking into a herd of sheep is like walking into another world. And the dog starts to quiver as the blood of his forefathers sings in his veins. Away, lad, away to me.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
Mm.
All right, okay, so let's have a listen to Julia Eklar with her powerful song, Native Son.
He does not know the language, but he understands the job. And he is not feared of hard work or of pain. Come away to me. Through the blood of all his fathers runs the stand their ground. May those generations come away to me. Come away to me.
that was Julia Eklar, a renowned filk artist, with her track Native Son from the album Horse Tamer.
You can find out more about Julia and her music, as well as what filk is all about, in our show notes at CelticMythPodShow.com/newsupdate.
Oh, hang on a minute. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Slow
what?
Down.
What?
Hang on. I don't want to wait to the show notes. What is filk music all about?
Okay, it's a very specialist form of folk music that is kind of written by geeks about geeks, and it's kind of like you might get songs about Star Trek or Dune. There's one that Julia Eklar does called Shai Halud, about the great sandworms and things like that. So they're basically...
You mean kind of like Superman writing songs about Batman, or...?
A bit extreme, but maybe, yes, yes.
Okay, I think I've just about got it.
Yeah, yeah, that's filk music. It's a very specialist genre, and it's quite famous as well.
Really?
Yeah, one of the ladies that started it all, Leslie Fish, and we've got a competition coming up for her in one of our later shows, used to... work, as far as I know, with Mr. Bonniewitz from...
Oh, really?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm,
very interesting.
Anyway.
Mm. Anyway, moving swiftly on. Sorry about that. I just needed to know. Okay, so now I'm suitably enlightened. And before our last song, let's summarise on where we are.
Okay.
Right, we're preparing the next 10 shows, which will make up the story of Branwen, the second branch of the Mabinogi.
Yep.
And we're rebuilding the website.
Yep.
And we're spending the necessary time with our family and writing for Fae magazine.
We are.
Anything else?
I think that about covers it. We have a lot of plans for the future, but we'll tell you about those when we've got something to show you.
Great stuff. So we'll finish off with our last piece of music.
Absolutely. Well, this show will be available to you in May of 2016, just after Beltane, or Samhain down under. And... with all of the wonderful May Day customs that we can see around us, I thought it would be nice to let our dear friend Dave the Bard remind us how important all of our customs and traditions actually are.
Very much so. An excellent idea. So let's listen to Dave the Bard with his evocative track, Forgotten Never Be. Take it away, Dave.
Drinking horn. past the drinking horn. And the sun is rising, the green man growing all over the land, all over the land. It falls down on quiet county towns. It's hard to believe. Torches they are raised and the bonfires blaze this November Eve. The Pope we defy as fire fills the sky. The prayers they decree, forgotten ever be. And the fires are burning, the sky is blazing all over the land, all over the changing all over the land, all over the land.
That was Dave the Bard with Forgotten Never Be from his most recent album, Sabbat.
Lovely piece, superbly crafted from a master bard.
Mm.
You'll find more details about this song and Dave in our show notes at CelticMythPodShow.com/newsupdate. Now then.
Yes?
Do you have a promo for us?
Oh, I do. I do. I found a super little podcast which focuses on mythology from around the world called The Mythology Podcast.
Ooh, that sounds interesting. I've never heard of this one before. Let's have a listen.
Hey, what's up? This is Bo Caprice Vetch, and you're listening to The Mythology Podcast, where we discuss myth, folklore, and legend from throughout history and from all over the world. I've gotten a lot of requests lately for an episode on Irish mythology and folklore, And so that's what we're going to be focusing on today. It was in the Iron Age, which began in Ireland around 600 BCE, that we began to see a progressive influx of Celtic people coming into Ireland. European history in general before the Celts is fairly uncertain, and in fact, even the history concerning the Celts is pretty uncertain, particularly involving Ireland. What is broadly considered to be Celtic culture originated, scholars generally think, during the 5th century BCE, likely stemming from the Hallstatt culture that had come previously. Now, really, the term Celtic and the idea of Celtic people, it doesn't refer to a single population, but rather to a much more piecemeal society made up of different tribes who shared similar characteristics and a common language. So, we've covered one story from each of the 4 cycles of Irish mythology. That's it for today's episode, but really we've just scratched the surface here, and we'll definitely be delving deeper into Irish mythology and folklore in some upcoming episodes. We've still got fairies, banshees, will-o'-the-wisps, and leprechauns to cover, to name a few, and they are all on the agenda. In the meantime, thanks for listening to the Mythology Podcast. You can find me online at themythologypodcast.com. I'm also on Facebook as The Mythology Podcast.
That was Beau Caprice Vetch and a small sample from his show about Irish mythology. In this show, he looks at the arrival of the Celts, the so-called Golden Age of medieval Irish literature, and he tells a story from each of the 4 cycles of Irish mythology. Highly recommend listening to his shows, which you can find at themythologypodcast.com or in iTunes.
They sound fascinating, actually. I must sit down and listen to his shows as soon as I can.
I would. They're worth it. Before we go, though, I think we should finish off our news.
Yes. As many of you know, since the show's inception, we've funded the whole thing ourselves. The recording equipment, the studio, the computers, editing software, and of course the website and show archives. But now we're at the stage where the show needs to financially support itself.
Having said that, it's very important to us that the show stays kid-friendly and free, as we believe these stories are your heritage and should be readily available. So we're looking at various options for funding the show that keep it free. Crowdfunding, sponsorship, and cultural grants are just some of the ideas we're looking into.
With extra funds coming in, we'd be able to replace very old equipment and release regular shows again, with the odd special show in between.
One of the things we've thought of already is remastering the stories and releasing just the stories on their own as CDs or downloads that you could buy.
And we'd start right from the beginning with the Irish stories from the mythological cycle.
Yeah.
So that's one idea we've come up
with. Yeah, the idea being you could listen through the stories without interruption with us chitter-chattering away.
Yes.
Stuff like that and just get into the story.
Yeah. So we're looking at all possible ways to keep the show going at the moment. So if you folks out there have any ideas, please, please do let us know. We're actually willing to consider most things right now.
We are. Yeah, so please do let us know. If you've got a great idea that might help us in some way, we'd be really grateful.
Yes, we would.
And that, I think, is the end of our news update show. You can find all of these details in our show notes at CelticMythPodShow.com/newsupdate.
So we'll leave you with a traditional Welsh blessing. We'd like to wish you a house full of sunshine and hearts full of cheer.
And love that grows deeper each day of the year.
Hwyl fawr!
Well, this show will be available to you in May of 2016. This very year. There's a cat's paw. coming under the door.
What's that about? You can't come into the studio.
Funny. She's keeping it there as well.
I know.
St. Nectan's Glen.
What are you doing?
Give up.
I don't know anyone who could do anything with a music stand like you can.
Doesn't like me.
You've been listening to the Celtic Myth Pod Show, available from CelticMythPodShow.com. We hope you've enjoyed the show and will stay tuned for the next episode. You can send us an email or some voice feedback to Gary and Ruth at CelticMythPodShow.com. The show notes for this episode can also be found on the website. We'd like to say a special thank you to Coulan's Hounds, who provided us with the theme music for our show. You can find them at www.sfhounds.com. We'd also like to say a big thank you to Anne Roos, Master Harper, and Keltoria, with a K, Celtic New Age Music, who have both given the show unrestricted access to their music. And thanks again go to Diane Arkinstone and Kim Robertson, whose music has been used as some of the transitions you've heard in this show. You'll find links to all of these wonderful artists in the show notes at shownotes.celticmythpodshow.com.